Good evening. I hope everybody is doing well. This is R.C. Blakes, and I am live and in living color tonight, and I pray that you are doing well. The Lord is really blessing. I am doing fantastic. There's something that we dealt with in the worship experience on Sunday. That would be yesterday. This is a Monday that I'm doing this. And we dealt with spiritual solutions to beating depression. And the reason I chose to deal with this is because it's an issue that we don't really spend a lot of time talking about, especially not in the context of church. We kind of, you know, move about it as though it's non-existent, and it's really kind of like the elephant in the room. People are sitting on our jobs, people are sitting in our worship experiences, people are in our families, everywhere in our neighborhoods, and people are in sometimes full-blown depression, just major depression for great lengths of time. And it's almost like, you know, nobody sees this. Nobody realizes this. And I think what has happened is that we've become a society of people that have learned to ignore those things that are tough to talk about, you know. So as the person that is depressed, I sweep it under the rug because I know that you would be uncomfortable with me sharing it. And then as the person in relationship with someone who may be in depression, I don't deal with it because, you know, I don't know what to say to you. And so as a consequence, we fail, you know, we fail one another. We fail society because we just don't want to have the tough conversations. Now, I want to just share with you tonight out of my personal experience as an individual and as a pastor. And if you would, I'd love for you to just share this on your various social media platforms, specifically Facebook, because there are many dimensions to depression. And as I always say, I'll say again, as I always do, I'm no therapist. I'm no psychologist. I'm not a licensed counselor. I'm a pastor, and I'm a man that has lived a little bit, and I've experienced, you know, most of the stuff I talk about, I've experienced. And so I share out of my personal experience or experiences. And so it is with this, you know, this is not something where I'm talking at you, you know, I'm really with you, because I've at certain points in my life, I have struggled with depression. When I was younger, I was so depressed that, you know, at some points I thought about suicide, thought about it, you know. Later in life, just the pressures of life, you know, the pressures of ministry, the pressures of manhood, the pressures of leadership kind of drove me to the point where, you know, I was just in this lengthy sadness, you know, just life seemed dark. You know, I was preaching, I was teaching, I was pastoring, I was leading as best I could. And at the same time, my life seemed bleak. You know what I mean? Thank God I didn't get to a point in that season where I thought about suicide. think I'd, well, I know I'd grown so much spiritually that, Jamaica, thank you, sweetheart. I'd grown so much spiritually that, you know, I knew better, in other words. So I want to share out of that context. Now, from a spiritual perspective, depression, listen to this very carefully. Depression is about, and this is the very lesson that I taught yesterday in the worship experience. From a spiritual perspective, depression is about the occupation of the conscious mind with heavy, confusing, and negative thoughts that overload the emotions. It's all about occupying the conscious mind with negative data that is largely gathered from and through painful experiences and preconditioned thinking. So depression, from a spiritual perspective, is when the conscious mind is occupied with negative information, be it true or false, but negative persuasions that were generated in me through the painful experiences of my past and the preconditioned, the social conditioning of my thinking. You know what I mean? And these things rise up and they occupy my conscious mind, and I find myself with a heaviness or with a sadness or science might conclude depression. Now, there are other causes of depression that, you know, surpass or circumvent the spiritual component. Seven shades, God bless you. Genetic factors, you know, some people, depression actually literally runs in their family's history. You know, you have generations of people that are depressed, and that would be, I would imagine, chemical. You know, that there's a chemical imbalance. It's kind of like, you know, when a woman goes through, Tennille, God bless you, when a woman goes through menopause, or even when a woman gets pregnant and, you know, her hormones are off balance and, you know, she behaves a little differently. She really can't own her feelings because she doesn't necessarily know where they come from. Well, that's chemical. Well, sometimes you have people in life who have an actual chemical imbalance that they need to see the doctor about. You know what I mean? And it runs in the genetic line of their family, from their grandparents to their parents to them, and it needs to be addressed. Then you have environmental stress, you know, like you have the breakup of relationships, significant relationships. You have financial calamity. You have death. Wow, you know, you have death, grief, environmental things, you know. These things can trigger a protracted sadness that, if not dealt with, can turn into something very toxic. And then, of course, illness, you know, creates depression. When your body's sick and you're struggling and you're fighting for, you know, just to feel good today, illness brings on depression. And then, you know, as I was dealing with this yesterday in worship, it was our day that we recognized Cyber Sunday. And I want to thank all of you that came and shared with us in Cyber Sunday from all over the country. I thank God for you. But it was also Men's Day. And so I was, at points, I dealt with the message, of course, that dealt with the whole body. Everybody could relate, male, female, young, old. But then there were points that I really dealt with the male. What is it? BG. God bless you. Thank you. And for men specifically, I think that we are made depressed many times because of toxic standards of manhood. toxic standards of manhood. I think it's the toxic standards of manhood that many times also serve to create toxic masculinity. You know, it's when we as men buy into, and then of course, you know, you can flip that. There are toxic standards for womanhood. But it's when a man buys into his manhood is as big as his wallet. And so if he doesn't make as much money as his friends, his manhood feels diminished. This sits in the front of his conscious mind. It impacts his self-esteem. It drains his self-esteem. And it ultimately leads him to a place of what? Depression. Or as I was dealing with yesterday in church, yes, I dealt with this in church. It's like when we get older as men, you know, I'm 55 years old right now. And I hear guys my age saying, I am as potent sexually at 50 some or 60 years old as I was when I was 25. That's a lie. Thank you, Indy. God bless you. That's a lie. You see, I refuse to buy into these toxic standards of manhood because as an enlightened and mature man, and maturity does not necessarily come with age, it comes with enlightenment. I realize that my manhood is bigger than my sexual performance. And so I'm not going to let you back me into a corner and make me believe that I'm less of a man because I'm not as virile at 55 as I was when I was 25. That's just called life. That's called biology. You know what I mean? But how many men are buying into that? How many women buy into, okay, toxic standards for womanhood that create depression? You're less of a woman if you don't have a man or if you're not married. It doesn't matter that you have a great career, you're a great person, you do wonderful things for the community, you do wonderful things in the church or wherever you flow. None of that stuff matters if you don't have a husband. And so you begin to, rather than celebrate your greatness as a woman, as an individual, you begin to diminish yourself in terms of your own perspective, your own self-view, because of toxic standards. Now, it's not God's will for you. Thank you, Dr. Pat. I love you. It's not God's will for you to be unstable in your mind and emotions. It's just not God's will. It's not God's best. It's not God's will. It has nothing to do with God. When you are unstable in your mind, you are far away from the will of God. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of, watch this, a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's important for you and I to be free, because the other people that are connected to us, you like your children, your family, rely on our freedom and our soundness for the quality of their lives. You know, suppose I'm in this house and I'm just all over the place. Well, that's not just impacting me. That's impacting my wife. That's impacting my children. That's impacting my grandchildren. You know what I mean? Suppose I bring that to my ministry, that's impacting all of my church family. So, you know, for me to really serve those who are connected to me well, I have to make certain that I am sound. Rubies, diamonds, God bless you. Thank you so much. I have to make certain that I'm sound. You know, like here's a question I get all the time. People say, well, somebody's, you know, I'm in a relationship with somebody that I have a child with, and this person is abusing me, and I feel like this person is, you know, extremely toxic to me. But I wanna stay. I'm thinking about staying for the child's sake. Well, the child is not benefiting from two broken people, staying together, creating a tornado of toxicity. The best thing you can do for the child that's depending on you is to put yourself in the best position to be the healthiest you can be. And sometimes you have to put your individuality ahead of all of this other relational stuff, especially when this relational stuff is proving to be something that God did not ordain. Thank you, Dana. And it's proving to be something that is constantly depleting you. The best thing you can do for your child is to be the best mother or to be the best father. You know what I mean? And I'll leave it alone. Look what the Bible says in Mark 3:27, just to the point I'm making. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man. And then he will spoil his house. The people that are depending on you and your soundness of mind can only be impacted if you're broken. So there's some things you have to do for yourself to be the best you can be for those who are coming behind you. Okay, now let me get into this. It's 15 minutes already. Let's look at this spiritual process. I have about four, maybe five points that I want to make. Number one, a spiritual process. Golden Goddess, God bless you. Thank you. A spiritual process to beating depression. Number one, preoccupy. And this is what I've done. This is what I do. This is what I've done. This is what I do. You have to, it's like maintenance. You know, when God delivers you from this, it's like maintenance. You have to maintain it. You have to stay up with it. You know what I mean? You can't just like go to altar one day and shout and say, oh, God delivered me. And then just have no process, no practical, though spiritual yet practical, no process whereby you're going to live your life to avoid all of the pitfalls that can bring you right back to where you've been. Number one, preoccupy the conscious mind. You must preoccupy the conscious mind. Now, let me read this so that for the purpose of clarity, when the mind is not intentionally directed, it goes in multiple directions. Have you ever noticed how your mind can go? Jeanette, God bless you. Thank you. Have you ever noticed how your mind can go in many different directions? Your mind can be scattered. It can be all over the place. Now watch this. Listen to this statement very carefully. Depression is quite often the consequence of leaving space in our heads for subconscious voices to speak into our present reality. Let me read it again. Depression is quite often the consequence of leaving space in our heads for subconscious voices to speak into our present reality. Depression is frequently the occupation of our emotions by an unproductive voice or thought. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. When we say that it is the consequence of leaving space in our heads for subconscious voices to speak into our present reality. If you've watched me any length of time at all, you know my testimony. And my testimony is that I was a teenage father at 15 years old. The baby was conceived when I was 14. I was sexually active long before 14 years old. As a consequence, I became a very promiscuous man. Even when I came into adulthood, I was a womanizer. I never had any intention of being faithful to any one woman. Never, never, never. It was God that actually took me and shook me and woke me up. It was God. Now, all of that that I just, or just what I shared, the little part of my testimony that I just shared with you is enough to create a subconscious voice of shame. Thank you, Arnita. Just the stuff I just shared with you. It means that within me, watch this. It means that within R.C. Blakes Jr., there's still, watch this, a shamed little boy. He's not going anywhere. He's still on the inside here. And the moment I let my guard down relative to occupying or preoccupying my conscious mind with those things that are fruitful, you know what will happen? That shamed little boy will begin to speak into my present reality. And at 55 years old, I will revert right back to the behavior of a shamed 15-year-old child in a black missionary Baptist church in the Deep South with all of its ridicule. Imagine that. The only thing that keeps that shamed little boy from speaking into my present reality is that I know now to preoccupy my conscious mind so that those subconscious voices do not have access. Right? Now, there are two things that we, if you're writing, look at Luke 21:19, where he says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. And your soul speaks of your mind, your will, your emotions. He says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In other words, take ownership of your own mind, your own will, your own emotions. Own your consciousness. Don't allow your subconscious mind to take ownership of your conscious thought, because your subconscious mind, have you ever noticed how we are engineered to hold on to everything hurtful and painful and to forget those things that are beautiful and good? You remember very little of the good. You remember all of the bad. So it means that your subconscious mind 90% of the time is not really working to your betterment. It's working against you. And so you have to possess your conscious mind, your conscious thought, because as a man thinketh, so is he. You have to own your conscious mind. Possess ye your souls. He says, but in your patience, you got to do this. Because when your mind is given, when your mind is given to heaviness and depression, you have to understand that in a lot of cases, thank you, Pamela, it's due to random consciousness. Now that's the phrase we used yesterday. When you're given to depression and heaviness and sadness on a regular basis, quite often it's due to random consciousness. And what is random consciousness? It's here's the illustration we used yesterday. It's a good one. It's when you wake up in the morning and you feel sad, almost to the point that you may almost describe it as depression or depressed. And then you roll out the bed and you go to washing your face and brushing your teeth. And then you ask yourself one simple question. Why am I depressed? Why am I sad? And then you have to answer yourself. And you say, well, you know, everything's pretty good. You know, I have enough money, I'm in good health, my family's intact. Why am I depressed? And then you have to answer yourself and say, I don't know. There's no good reason for me to be depressed. Well, what's going on there is random consciousness. Thank you, Sharon. What's going on there is random consciousness. It means that because you've not possessed your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your emotions or your subconscious mind is carrying you to and fro like a double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all of his ways. Random consciousness. It's where you live your life emotionally like that all day long. And it's where you sabotage good relationships because people can't keep up with you. Because as the circumstances shift like they always do, you're blown with the wind when you possess your soul.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.